Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You did it, because I was just not going to say anything.
I know.
Before the show, you said, oh, I'm not going to do it.
I don't like it. I don't like doing this. We got to have some fun with it. Joe George, Brian McDonald, Joel Blank is out today. Jeremy Branham will be here at some point on today's show. Hopefully not too long. He's traveling, obviously, to the terrible city of Indianapolis with the Houston Cougars as they get ready to take on Purdue on Friday night and hopefully make a run at the Final Four in San Antonio. So we got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. Todd Callis is going to join the show for his first appearance on the Killer Bees this season. So he will join the show at 4:15 after this week. It will be every Friday at 4 o'clock. You can text in 713-780-3776. And I know, Brian, 301, you guys got the gift of radio yesterday. Breaking news, Cam Smith has made the opening day roster. But we need to talk about it still because it is the biggest story in Houston sports right now. I cannot believe that this kid is already on the major league roster for the Houston Astros. It felt like during spring training with the way he was hitting, he was going to get there pretty quickly, that he would come up at some point this season, that he would contribute to the roster in some kind of capacity. But the idea that he was going to be up on opening day always seemed a little far-fetched to me. And then when he finally started playing right field, it opens up the door even more. But he still only played a handful of games. The reaction is deserved. People should be thrilled about this. I mean, it's one of the fastest runs to the big leagues in the history of baseball. He has been phenomenal in spring training. And he's going to be opening day right fielder. This is awesome, B-Mac.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited for it. I think I saw that it was the third fastest ever. I don't know if they're doing that from date on the calendar or amount of minor league games before a call-up happens, but either way, it's the third fastest ever. I'm really excited for it. I think the only reason for any of us to have, you know, maybe a moment of hesitation is if you feel like this is too much too soon for him. And I kind of felt like that at the beginning, but the more and more Jeremy and I talked about it and more the texters weighed in, I started to see the side of it that if Cam Smith is the special prospect we think he is, and you have to be special to earn a call-up as quickly as he did. He only played 5 games above the single-A level last season after being drafted last June or July. Then if he isn't truly that special, bring him up maybe, because I think I was on the side of bring him up in May. Like, let him spend a month in AAA and bring him up in May. But if he's truly this special, what's a month? Like, if a month early was going to bomb him, then he wasn't actually that special. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. So if he comes up and he's just atrocious, never gets it back, even being given time to go back down to minors, find a swing, and he just never recovers, then we actually – I don't view it as the Astros ruined him. He just actually wasn't that guy.
No, he belongs on the Paul Gallant show on Soft Boys.
or Washed Watch.
Yeah. Like, if you can't handle what Alex Bregman went through, it's like when people talk about quarterbacks in the NFL, rookies, and like, don't play him. Your offensive line sucks. He's not going to be able to handle it. Well, then I don't want that guy.
I would say a little bit different with quarterbacks because they could get the hell beat out of him.
But, like, it's like Sam Darnold with, like, the seeing ghost, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was just scared to be in the pocket, and it's like, oh, well, the Jets ruined him. Or maybe, like, he's just scared of pressure, and he couldn't handle it anyways.
Yeah.
And that's the same with Cam Smith. Like, even if he struggles, just let him struggle. Because even if he struggles, isn't it better than having to have Cam Smith in right field than Chaz McCormick? Like, Chaz's got a noodle arm. We know what the bat is. We know it's not good. We know it can be at times, but Cam Smith, the upside to him being in right field is way better than having Chaz McCormick in right field on a daily basis. I love this move. I like the boldness of it. And even like the fact that you think about the what can happen to the Astros, there's compensation now where they can get extra draft capital.
If he wins Rookie of the Year.
If he wins Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
By bringing him up this fast. So even like if he's now number two in odds. He went from number six to number two in AL Rookie of the Year odds the second he made the opening day roster. And to me, it feels like a great bet at this point. Because he's going to be there from day one. He's going to be your everyday right fielder. And we know what the bat can do.
Yeah, he's got the profile of someone that can win it. Because what wins it, you know, as an offensive player is home runs. And, I mean, Cam Smith, I mean, I think you can argue has the behind Yordan Alvarez, the most power of any bat in the lineup. Maybe Yonner would have a conversation there. But I would think, at least from the raw power we've seen, especially since I think the majority of his home runs in spring all went opposite field. Now, some people have tried to nitpick that and say, oh, well, he's late on stuff, and then when he faces major league pitching, you know, he's gonna be missing these things. But I don't know. I take it as an encouragement. If he's got so much power he can regularly go take the ball out to the opposite field, I don't view that as a negative. I think the getting back to what you were saying on the timeline, because Jeremy brought up the question, like, how long's his leash? Like, if he struggles, if the fears that we have are realized, how long's the leash? And you mentioned Chaz McCormick, and I think that's the answer. But because Chaz McCormick hasn't hit, he was so terrible last year, terrible again in spring, they really don't have any other options that excite anyone for right field. I think the leash for Cam Smith is going to be quite long because, to me, the leash is really not – it's not entirely about the player. It's often more times about what your other option is. And there's really not another option besides Cam Smith in right field. Like, he made the team in part, and obviously in big part because he was great during spring training. But the other part of it was, I mean, he hit and no one else did. And so there's, I mean, what if you pull Cam Smith because, let's say he gets out of the box with, like, I don't know, a 220 batting average and like a 650 OPS. Okay, you're pulling him for what?
I think the only way
For all the guys who aren't hitting, so you might as well give the kid a long leash.
So this is the only scenario where I think he very quickly gets sent back down to the minors. And I think there's a couple steps to this that have to play out. Let's say this oblique thing keeps coming up for Christian Walker. And Zach DiCenzo, in return, becomes basically your everyday first baseman. He hit .391 in spring training. So he had a very good spring. He's made the opening day roster. If he were to have to play first base in Christian Walker's absence and be very successful at the plate, I could see DiCenzo moving to right field when Christian Walker would return and then thus affecting Cam Smith. But that, to me, is really the only path unless – I mean, that's really it. Like, I don't think you're going to put Dubon out there.
No, because we know what Dubon is. I mean – the goal, and this is going to sound like an unnecessary shot at Dubon, but the goal should be for this early part of the season is to find a way to take Dubon out of the lineup on an everyday basis. I mean, look at his OPS plus year by year. He's a below average offensive player. He's a great glove, and so I don't mind him if they have no other options. Well, let's just put the best defender out there, and Dubon is. We know he's obviously won a gold glove before, but Dubon playing every day does not represent your best offensive lineup. So if, you know, finding some way to get DiCenzo into the lineup every day, rather at the beginning it's some sort of platoon situation where he's playing a little first, playing a little left, playing a little, you know, third base, whatever, when guys need days off or until Christian Walker gets back, that's fine. But yeah, I guess I could see DiCenzo taking that job in that scenario laid out. But I think the best offensive lineup, if we're looking down the road, includes both of them.
I very much agree. And I personally still think the best option for the Astros is eventually Jose Altuve moving back to second base.
At least, like Jeremy and I had this conversation, I think I would be all for, like immediately, starting tomorrow, Jose Altuve's in left field for Fromber, and he's in left field for Hunter Brown because they're ground ball pitchers, mm-hmm. especially if you're at home. If it's a home game and Fromber and Hunter Brown are on the mound, Jose Altuve's out in left field. But if it's someone that tends to be more of a fly ball pitcher, or you're throwing out a pitcher who may not be able to hold the opponent to two runs, three runs, and you need to score more runs in a game to win, then Jose Altuve needs to be at second base. You could have DiCenzo and Cam Smith as your corner outfielders and put your best offensive lineup out there.
Yeah, I obviously, like, that's the the positive of it. And we'll get into some of the what could be the negatives in the next segment. It's Joe George and BMAC here with you today on the Killer Bees. Joel Blank's off today, should be back tomorrow. And Jeremy Branham is on his way to a hotel room to join us at some point on the show. But the excitement's real. I loved the video. I thought it was really cool. I know we're going to have to talk about this again with Jeremy later.
Now, you're talking about the video of, him or, the video Joe Espada announcing it?
I like the of Joe.
Because I heard Lance talking about this early this morning, and I didn't notice it at the time, but when I went back and watched it afterwards, he's totally right. It was I'm not making anything of it. It's just something that's a little weird that I noticed after Lance pointed it out. But the teammate reaction is just eh.
I think because
the
way
the applause level's odd.
Because it was so sentimental based, not
maybe.
Just like this is the announcement.
Okay.
It's that's what it feels like to
like
me.
Like they didn't feel it was appropriate to to explode and
we dropping F bombs and going crazy.
Because his mom's okay.
Yeah. It's mom's is here. So we gotta golf clap
because usually when you see guys get the announcement of in college, oh, you're going on scholarship now, or any other thing like this, the locker room erupts, and that was not the reaction.
Yeah,
Astros had.
It was even as he was starting to make the announcement, I was it's really quiet.
Now I would give an excuse to the guy who lost his job because now Cam Smith's on. He was getting sent down to AAA because Cam Smith replaced him. But
yeah, because normally
everyone else needs to be applauding.
And normally when we see these videos, it's happening in Sugar Land. It's
right.
Happening in Corpus. It's happening in
Mickey Story's telling him in his office.
Yeah, it's not in this setting, so it is a little bit different because there's Chaz McCormick and Dubon and all these guys who are on the roster who were hey, maybe I'll play a lot of right field this year.
Nope.
And they're oh, no. No.
This young kid has played 5 games above single A. He's got this job for the next 15 years, possibly.
All right, when we get back, some reaction to this from the Twitch, from the text line, and YouTube as well. And plus, if there is a negative, I think there's one potential negative with this decision. It's Joe George and BMAC waiting for Jeremy Branham here on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joe George, Brian McDonald, waiting on Jeremy Branham to make his...
Just you, Joe.
Oh, see, I thought that was really him for a second.
Have you heard the drop of that before?
No, that's funny.
Just you, Joe.
What is he saying?
Just you, Joe. You remember what that's from, right?
Yeah, I do. Whatever. All right, opening day tomorrow.
Just you, Joe.
3 o'clock on... Space City Home Network, Apple TV on Friday. Todd Callis will join us at 4:15 today to give us a look at the upcoming season, his thoughts on Cam Smith, how excited he is to see him every day to replace Kyle Tucker. First thing, question here I got from Junior Bronco. I knew this was coming, and I know this has been a topic of conversation. I was asked about as soon as I walked into the office today. Someone asked me, Joe, you're a Cubs fan. What's the other side feeling about the Kyle Tucker trade today?
I think, can I attempt to answer for you? If they re-sign Kyle Tucker, you don't care. If he walks, this is going to hurt.
If he walks, they better get to the NLCS.
Oh, I see. See, my answer yesterday was, the only way this doesn't totally become something that Cubs fans, complain about for years in the event that Kyle Tucker leaves is if they win the World Series. If you win the World Series, you don't care.
No, they traded Dylan Cease for Jose Quintana and got to the NLCS in 2017, and I'm okay with that.
So just making the NLCS would be enough?
I mean, that's what the Yankees did with Juan Soto, and Yankees fans seem to be okay.
Made the World Series.
Yeah, that's true.
The
Cubs didn't make the playoffs last year. So and Kyle Tucker's not resigning there. He's going to be a Philly. I'm pretty confident in that.
Really?
Okay. I actually think it's going to be more about the prospects they didn't trade that were technically ranked in front of Cam Smith and their organization. Matt Shaw, who's going to be their opening day third baseman. Owen Cassie will be their opening day right fielder after Kyle Tucker leaves. If they're worse than Cam Smith, that's where it gets really tough. If I mean, the fact that he's on the opening day roster, people are freaking out. Like they're not thrilled that they traded away a top prospect for Kyle Tucker
for a rental.
They don't think is going to come back because it's a cheap organization. Like they're not spending money. They thought they were going to get Alex Bregman. They spent no money after they got Tucker, so they made this like half measured all in move. So yeah, people are upset. People are very upset today. I'll be honest. I hate the trade.
Yeah, because I wonder what it would take. If you look at the collective war of Wisniewski, Cam Smith, and Isak Paredes this year versus the war of Kyle Tucker, with Cam Smith playing the whole year, it's likely going to be on the in favor of the Astros side. I mean, I don't know how it wouldn't be in that case, unless Kyle Tucker is the MVP and has the best season of his career. So yeah, I mean, you obviously have a little bit of a disagreement. As far as like for me, like if I was a Cubs fan and I know he's leaving, if they don't make the World Series, I'm pissed.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like
to give up a prospect like Cam Smith.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be nice to see them back and go deep playoff run. But yeah, Cubs fans are freaking out because I mean, no one thought that. You think about like when you trade away a prospect like Cam Smith, you think, yeah, this might bite us.
In three years.
Yeah. We're going to be at Minute Maid Park in 2.5 months or whatever it is. And there's going to be a tribute video for Kyle Tucker. And then Cam Smith is going to run out to right field after the video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it takes the pain away from Astros fans that were upset that Tucker got traded because you have this prospect. Even if he's Alex Bregman to start, if he's a disaster at the plate, like it's still like, well, he still was good enough to make the opening day roster. And like that will excite people. And it should excite people. I think there's only one – I only have like one concern about this move from the Astros perspective is before they started the Altuve to left field stuff and before Cam Smith really became a thing, the idea was that, Dubon in left – Myers in center, and Chaz in right.
Which would have been the worst outfield I think I've ever seen.
Yes. Offensively, the worst outfield. Do you not potentially have the worst defensive outfield in all of baseball now with Cam Smith, who's played 5 games in right field?
It's a large unknown.
Jose Altuve in left field. That's my only concern. It's just...
I think Jake makes up, obviously, for some of that. Because he's got, he doesn't have a great arm either, but he does have exceptional range. And obviously, half of your games are playing in a short porch that can mask some of Altuve's problems if he's playing in left. We'll see. We'll still see how much he plays in left. I know Joe Espada said it would be primarily left, but I think if you want to, again, to bring back our conversation from the last segment, I think your best offensive lineup includes or has to include Jose Altuve at second base so you could get both DeZinzo and Cam Smith in the lineup at the same time. But yeah, I'm not super worried, I guess, about Cam Smith in the outfield. I mean, he's tall, he's young, he's athletic. I have no question about if he can move or not. And we'll see how his arm grades out, but he was a third baseman, and third basemen generally have strong arms. I mean, of every position in the infield, third base and shortstop, those guys generally have cannons or need to have a cannon. So I don't think he's going to be a Chaz McCormick out there throwing, four hoppers to home plate. So I'm not extremely worried about it as far as the Cam Smith side. Jake Meyer's obviously a plus defensive player. Altuve worries me, but again, I think as we get into the season, that experiment is not going to be as many games per week as we thought it was initially.
Yeah, and I think that if it is looking like it's going to be the worst outfield in baseball defensively,
right,
with Cam and Jose out there, then, well, what's the give and take? What gives? I think it's clearly it's Altuve moves back to second base. Like, Cam Smith will not be, if they're both struggling in the outfield, if only one can be out there, I think logically it makes more sense to have Cam Smith in right field versus Jose Altuve.
Yeah, because the other part of that is Cam Smith really wouldn't have anywhere to move. Like, he's not going to third base because with Paredes there. Because Paredes needs to be – I mean, Paredes could play first, but obviously once Christian Walker's healthy, why would he be playing first?
Yeah.
And he doesn't really have – much experience playing second base. Obviously, he can't play short. So if Paredes is blocking him at third base, there'd be really nowhere for Cam Smith to move unless you were making a second move and having him in left field. But, yeah, Cam Smith this season is going to be a corner outfielder, whether it's left or right. So I don't really think of that as an option.
Yeah, so I think that's to me, is the only real downside. Like, the bat, there'll be times where it's really tough and there'll be, you know, it's going to be a struggle. But then there's times where hopefully it's absolutely fantastic.
What does his rookie season have to look like to you for where you're okay with this move? Like, that was something we brought up, and Jeremy and I were a little far apart. But because obviously if this – I think you agree with me in my assessment of this. Like, if this fails spectacularly, I'm not going to – bang the drum that it was too much too soon, because I think if Cam Smith is special, 1 month early doesn't really do anything or damage him all that much. But people will come for Dana Brown. Like, Dana, the calls for Dana Brown's head, if he quote-unquote in the minds of the fans ruins Cam Smith, and now he also ruins the trade for Kyle Tucker, because without Cam Smith being successful, people are not going to be happy with the return you got for Kyle Tucker. What is Cam Smith have to do this year, do you think, to avoid that conversation?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that conversation sucks.
It does.
He's got 6 years to be better than Kyle Tucker.
I know, but that's not that. No, but that's not how it works.
And we started the segment from the Cubs' perspective.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what happens this year; it's what happens in 6 years as well. Like, if Cam Smith is winning MVP in 4 years and helping the Astros win a third World Series title, a fourth World Series champion like title, then like it looks awful for the Cubs. I think he has to hit – God, I don't want to set the expectations too high. Give me like 250, 25-plus home runs is what I'd love to see.
25 feels – like the George Springer – now, George Springer did this in only like 70-something games, so it was pretty amazing. But he hit 20 bombs in 70 games. Like, I feel if Cam Smith gets to 20 with a respectable slash line – then I don't think there should be any conversation about too much too soon.
No, I don't think so. I mean, let's look at – I mean, okay. What if he hits 253, 22 home runs? Jeremy Pena. That's what Jeremy Pena did his rookie year. He struck out, obviously, 135 times. Doesn't seem like Cam Smith's going to strike out that much. But in 136 games, Jeremy Pena hit 253, hit an on-base of 289, and hit 22 home runs. If Cam Smith replicates that, of course he's – I think everyone's happy.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit worried about the on-base, because he profiles as a guy that walks quite a bit. So if his on-base is below 3,
yeah,
I'm going to be like, hey, what's going on there? But, yeah, if he hits 22 bombs or, you know, even surpasses Pena, I think everything past that's gravy.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's why I'm not – I don't think there's like a number on it. And I do think Astros fans will always still kind of think to themselves of – okay, it's not Chaz. Like, I think that's part of it. Now, to tie the Cubs and the Astros together again, now it's obviously different, because Matt Shaw is going to be the open day third baseman for the Cubs. If he were to win National League Rookie of the Year, which I don't think he will, and is phenomenal, maybe that sours people's thoughts on the trade. If
Kansas you could have
had a different prospect.
I don't think that'll be the comparison, though.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it's Chaz.
I think it should be, but it's not.
This is very unfair, because I also don't think it's Chaz. Because I think the healthy thing is, because Chaz would have been the guy in right field, I think the healthy thing for us to say, or at least for this first season, is he better than Chaz? If he is, then we're fine with it, because the Astros improved the position, got more production out of the position. But I think people are going to compare him to Kyle Tucker. That's going to be the direct comparison. That's obviously extremely unfair, because before Kyle Tucker got hurt with his mysterious injury last year, he was a top three MVP candidate.
Yeah.
He was in the midst of having a career year when, you know, the season before he was nearly 30-30. So it's not like he hadn't had other great seasons before that, and this season was on pace to surpass even those. So if Cam Smith isn't producing I think the season before Kyle Tucker had 29 home runs and like 30-something steals. I don't know if Cam Smith the profiles as a base stealer, but if he's not producing 80% of Kyle Tucker by, let's say, year three, I think people are going to start pointing at Kyle Tucker and saying, you traded away Kyle Tucker and we got 80% or like 70% of Kyle Tucker. We got discount, great value Kyle Tucker. People are going to be mad.
Yes, but we all know.
It's not fair. I don't think that's fair, but that's what's going to happen.
But also, like, we all know, like, I think Astros fans know at this point, like, Kyle Tucker was never going to be a Houston Astro after this season. He was never coming back. There was never going to be a deal put in place. It was going to be the same song and dance that we went through with Bregman, that we went through with Correa, that we're going to go through with Fromber.
You mean Astro for life, according to Dana Brown?
Well, they said that about Kyle Tucker.
I know. I think they said about Bregman, too.
They're going to offer Fromber, just like they would have offered Kyle Tucker, a deal that when we all hear it, we're going to go, Seems
it's going to be a fake offer. They haven't even talked to him yet.
But, like, I don't think Tucker and Fromber are going to have the same issues that Bregman and Correa had in terms of finding a home in free agency. I mean, Kyle Tucker is going to be the best hitter to hit the market.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker will be – I don't know if he'll go as quick as Juan Soto did, but he'll be gone before the year rolls over for sure.
And it feels like Fromber, like, will go very quickly as well. I mean, if you look at a team – like, there's all these teams. Like, I mean, they're going to go after big-name pitchers. Like, I don't
think – Yeah, who doesn't want a – upper-level left-handed starting pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, Max Fried just got 200-plus.
Yeah. Jeremy Branham, when he's here today also, we started a new Astros podcast called Inside the Icebox. It's up on YouTube. This week's episode came out on Monday. Normally, it's going to come up on Thursday afternoons, and then we're actually going to also air it as a radio show from 6 to 7 after the Killer Bee starting next week. We talked about Fromber and like what his market value is going to be, and we kind of came at like $30 million based on what Max Fried and these other guys have gotten is somewhere between 25 and 35 million.
How many years do you think?
That's why I think it depends on. That's where the number fluctuates.
Yeah.
I think if he goes a 3-year deal, he can get 35 a year.
Yeah. Because I was initially thinking his value would be somewhere in the ballpark of like 5 years, 125 to 150, which the Astros will never pay.
Never.
Which
I mean, they haven't even talked to him.
It takes like, the conversation to a completely different direction. We don't have to go down, but it still begs the question: if you're willing to trade Kyle Tucker because you knew you could never retain him, why didn't you do the same thing with Fromber? Because he's going to walk out the door for what, one comp pick?
I've said that.
I mean, you got Cam freaking Smith for one, and you're going to get a single comp pick for the other?
All right. Well, I'll spoil a theory that Jeremy had on the podcast that we'll discuss. We'll answer a couple texts as well. As we continue talking about Cam Smith making the opening day roster, he will be the opening day right fielder tomorrow when the Houston Astros take on Juan Soto and the New York Mets. It is the Killer Bees here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Astros have potentially three moves that are very, very bold. It takes huge cojones. Altuve, Trey Tucker, potentially Cam Smith. If the Astros win the division after doing all of those things, they're going to look really good. Dana Brown and his front office is going to look very good.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George and BMAC here on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Blankers will return tomorrow as the entire station hits the road. We'll be broadcasting live from East River 9 tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. So if you're going to opening day, make sure you stop on by, get a beer, get some food, or maybe get some golfing even before you see the debut of Cam Smith. Jeremy Branham will be here at some point. Theory flying around. He's still in the air on his way to Indianapolis. It's also just a terrible city. So.
Yeah. You obviously have more experience with that part of the country than I do, but it seems like a very boring city.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Pat McAfee.
I went there 3 times in college. Our fraternity headquarters were in Indy, so they would have us drive out for these like summits. Let me tell you, not fun. Also, I wasn't old enough to drink yet, so like, maybe.
Okay, that would be really. Yeah, the only way to make that a passable time would be to throw a few back.
And I was poor, so it's not like I could go to like the St. Elmo Steakhouse and try like this shrimp cocktail that everyone talks about.
See, I don't know how a shrimp cocktail got famous. Like, I like shrimp
because it's hot.
Okay, cool. I mean, I could get spicy food lots of places. I live in Texas. The selling point is that it's hot.
I like
shrimp, but I mean, I'm not driving out of my way for a shrimp cocktail. I'd rather have fried shrimp than a shrimp cocktail.
I think, I don't know, man.
I get the selling point.
I just think it's like, because you think spicy? Like, I know, like, it's always spicy, right?
Have you had it?
No, that's what people always say.
Because I was wondering if it's in,
like a lot of horseradish.
Well, I was going to say, no offense. I wonder if it's Midwest spicy.
I think it's white people spicy.
Okay.
Who goes there?
Okay, same thing.
NFL tomato, media.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, like NFL media. Yeah, it's Midwest spicy, I'm guessing.
Like, I don't know if, you know, Houstonians, Texans are used to eating things a lot spicier.
Yeah.
Would go there and think that's very spicy.
Yeah, I think maybe if we're ever forced to go there. We can try. But
yeah, I guess.
I have very little interest in going to Indianapolis again in
no,
my life.
No, not unless I'm being paid to.
All right, couple things here. From the 2-0, has Rodgers done enough to start at second base? Eh, I guess. I feel like he's been fine in spring training.
Yeah, see, I've pushed back on the notion, because people will sometimes look at his numbers, and rightfully so, like, and then compare it to Mauricio Dubon, who's been a below-average offensive player his entire career. You're smirking over there. What's going on?
Just a comment on the Twitch.
Oh, well, okay. Well, there you go. I think I have a drop for that somewhere. I'll
they
hear
actually
it later.
Made me laugh for once.
Okay. Oh, they made you laugh. I will refrain from the drop then. Well, people will look at Brendan Rodgers and assume that he's an offensive upgrade to Dubon, and maybe he is just because Dubon set the bar so low. But when you look at Rodgers' splits,
they're so bad.
Yeah, like Brendan Rodgers outside of Coors Field in Denver is a terrible offensive player. So Dubon is a below average player at the plate, but he is a plus defensive player, as evidenced by his Gold Glove a couple years ago. And I don't think Rodgers coming here and hitting outside of Coors Field is by any means a guarantee. So I would need to see Rodgers actually hit as a platoon, part-time, whatever player before I'd be making that switch.
Yeah, and he did win a Gold Glove.
Did Dubon. So,
2 years
you know, whatever.
Ago, 2-3 years ago, whatever it was for Rodgers. I mean, it's fine. Like, I'm not sold either way on who needs to be the opening day second baseman.
I don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
Because whether it's Dubon or whether it's Rodgers at second base, I think outside of Coors Field, you're talking about a negative offensive player, someone who's a below average OPS plus.
409 Josh, is there a possibility that the locker room continuity that's still
continuity
canceled? Yep,
there you go.
Yep, there, thanks B-Mac. Hey, look, it's been a while since I've done a radio show, okay? It's an issue this
what does that have
season.
To do with speaking?
I don't know. There are more same new words. Everyday players than normal. Some of the outfielders may be unhappy with Jose and Cam in the outfield. Not too worried about, like, the locker room vibes. I think that winning cures everything.
Yeah, whose feelings are we worried about? Like, Ben Gamel? I mean,
well, he's not on the team anymore.
Right? I know. That's what I'm...
Yeah. It's Chaz. It's just Chaz.
Yeah, like, okay.
Like, Dubon knows his role.
But sound like The Rock there. Buy him some banana pudding. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not worried about the opinions of guy 25 on a 26-man roster.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
sorry.
No, I'm not worried about it. Because I think that this team, like, still has aspirations to go back to the World Series, to obviously not go out in two games in the playoffs like they did last year. And all of that stuff, just winning cures any potential issues that would happen in the locker room. Now, if they struggle, there's always room for that. But even then, like the Astros locker room clubhouse, I know it's going to upset people. The Astros clubhouse has gone through so much turnover, turmoil since 2017. Like whether it's the weird Astros PR guy that was getting in trouble with the way
continuity.
Oh,
y'all both said
there.
It wrong. Y'all both said it wrong.
Hey, show starts at 3:00.
Brian corrected you and said, "What? I don't even know what he said." But he didn't say continuity.
Yes, I did.
He
I
corrected
said continuity.
You. I don't think you did.
I honestly, I don't think you did. Either.
I don't
really?
Think he said continuity.
Sure.
No, I'm pretty confident he did not.
I will go hey, you guys
check
talk.
The tape.
I'll go find the tape.
I turn on the Comrex unit, and I hear you guys butchering the English language, and I have to go all MLA Paul on you guys.
How's Indianapolis, Jeremy?
I just got here.
It's a lovely
kind of grumpy, though, I'll tell you that.
Why? Why are you grumpy?
Because I heard you guys butcher continuity.
Oh, you'll be fine.
What are you guys talking about?
Cam Smith.
Yeah, what about him?
If the clubhouse would be upset with all the new faces with Altuve and Cam Smith out there, we got a question from a texter about that. We're just talking about being excited for opening day. I know the news broke right away at the start of the show. Do you feel differently today now that you've had 24 hours to, you know, think about Cam Smith as the opening day right fielder for the Astros?
You know what? I like it. I mean, it's gonna be fun. I think we do need to temper our expectations on it. I was looking at a projection. The Athletic had like projections for every single Astro like in the lineup or whatever. 246 average, 15 homers, 60 RBIs. Like that's fine. Like he's a rookie that's had five games above high A ball. Like that would be acceptable to me. Like if you want to hit 246 with 15 homers and 60 RBIs, okay, that's fine.
We
like,
gotta
I think it's fine.
not to be ironic with some of the things that have occurred on social media and the station, I use Jeremy Pena's rookie year as the baseline. 253 with 22 home runs.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because I made Lance mad at me. I was wondering, too, like, I couldn't go to sleep last night as I laid, you know, head to pillow. I was like, why was Lance so mad at me for something I didn't even say? And I was like, what? What could it be? And then I was like, well, I did call him the third best draft guy in the NFL.
Oh.
I said Daniel Jeremiah was number two. I said Matt Miller was number one. That was only because Matt Miller came on our show.
Yeah.
So maybe it was that he's kind of, like, tilted at me. I did kind of bash his Jose Altuve and left field take. So, like, maybe he caught wind of that. Maybe he didn't love that I did that. I guess that's – I don't know why he's mad. He was mad at me. But he was mad at me for something that he created.
It was just in the morning.
I never even said that.
It's an early morning. He said he hadn't had his coffee yet. You know, we all know what it's like to be up that early and no coffee yet. And you just got to get the day going.
I haven't had any coffee yet. Brian said he was talking about me again this morning. I hadn't heard it. What was he saying, Brian? Like, anything Brian, I should know about?
Brian just left.
Brian left. We have to go to break at 42. he's gone.
He's back.
Ever go to break at 42? I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried about you going to break.
That's a great counterpoint.
I don't remember how it came back up on the show, but the basic gist of it was Lance was trying to say that he got brandomed. They invented a new term, like falling for clickbait or engagement farming. Which Lance continually accused you of again this morning, as now being referred to as getting brandomed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm unapologetic that I do in farm engagement. Like, I harvest it, I reap what I sow, I get it all. I am unapologetic about that. That was actually not my intent of that tweet, though. My intent of that tweet was, here's the Jose Altuve second baseman that cries wolf. And then, you know what it would be like? If Jose Altuve called every Astro prospect a superstar, it would be like if Lance called every single offensive lineman in the draft a future superstar. And he would be right on some of them, but we wouldn't be able to take his word. We wouldn't be able to – he wouldn't have any credibility because he calls them all stars. It's kind of what Jose Altuve is doing. I'm not saying he's being wrong. I'm not saying he's, like, not even mean. Like, he's a nice guy. I get all of it.
He's a good teammate.
Yeah, sure. But us as the observers, if you call everybody that is making their major league debut a future superstar, well, you're the boy who cries wolf.
Well,
like, there might be a wolf there every now and then, but probably there won't be because you do it all the time. How am I supposed to know?
Cam Smith has now officially gone from a plus 1,200 sixth best odds to win Rookie of the Year. He's now moved up to plus 450, the favorite. It has changed even in the last hour. He's now
really?
Favorite for rookie.
He's
of the
year.
Favorite? He's now the favorite.
That's got to be line movement. That's got to be like the market moving on it.
Well, the top two are him and the kid who's going to play second base for Boston.
Yeah, Christian Campbell.
Yeah, those are the top two for the American League.
I mean, he's got a fighter's chance, but I bet you that's more about, this guy's making, you know, he's going to be up with the club for opening day. Like, I should probably put a little bit of, you know, coin on that. I bet you it's the market adjusting itself. Although, I mean, he's probably top three. He's probably top three. I told you I was grumpy. I told you I'm not in a good mood. We got Callis, in 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Callis coming up in 30 minutes. You guys already talked Rockets?
No.
No, we're
y'all
saving
haven't
that
talked
for you.
Rockets yet?
We're saving it for you.
Okay.
No,
well, we'll do that later. I'll talk talking about the Rockets.
We host
yet.
An Astros podcast now, so I figured, you know, let's talk Astros.
What's that thing called again?
Inside the Icebox.
Inside the Icebox. I always forget.
Way to sell it there.
Good teammate.
I mean, the content's great. The title's just, you know, forgetful. I'm just kidding.
Sounds like you want to call like another Astros podcast.
What is another Astros podcast? That's factual. There's other things I wanted to call it that you ex-nade.
That's true.
What were they? Let's lay them out.
Lay them out, Joe.
I got to find it.
I don't think that Joe's able to lay them out, actually. They weren't... I don't want to say that word.
Yeah,
that
they're not. They were not.
They weren't
typical. Yeah, they're not typical things you expect from Branham.
Blue Branham was dropping bombs.
Yeah, not what I expected when I got the
Blue Branham. What does that even mean?
You never heard the using curse words or whatever is refer. This is kind of an old timey thing, but blue language is cursing.
Like a dinosaur right now.
Never heard of that.
It was Junction Jack. And then there's another word after it.
Yeah. A word for donkey?
No.
713-780-ESPN. We have a busy show planned for you today. The voice of the Astros, Todd Callis, will be joining us at 4:15. I have to adjust here because I'm in Eastern time zone. So, like, it's 4:46 here, but it's 3:46 there. So I kind of have to be careful how I do all this. So Callis in 30 minutes, right? Yeah. Dallas in 30 minutes? All right, 713-780-ESPN. I'm going to go rogue here, and I'm going to go Buzzkill Branham next. I told you I'm not in a good mood. So Buzzkill Branham, I spoiled the wheel a bit. You're getting Buzzkill Branham today. We'll discuss it next. It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Killer Bees, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous spin.
It's time for Buzzkill Branham.
Yeah, I know. We know that. Buzzkill Branham. I said that going to break. A couple of texts real quick. Oh, wow, Lance is going to get on you tomorrow. Laughing face emoji, laughing face emoji, laughing face emoji. Uh-oh. Texture, who had Altuve been wrong on, though? That's the real question. Jeremy Pena is not a superstar. That's who he was wrong on. He was wrong on Jeremy Pena. That's the answer. And then you could also throw in the, well, he said Alex Bregman was going to be here this year.
That's not his fault.
How'd that work out?
That's not his fault.
Sure, but it's I have conviction that he's going to be back. How did that, his conviction work out for him?
Well, that Dana Brown
he was
said
wrong.
It first.
His prediction was wrong.
I mean, Dana Brown said,
I hope Cam Smith is the first time that Altuve's right.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, well, he's been wrong.
Do we know what he said about
right.
Jordan Alvarez?
He said, well, he said that he's one of the best hitters in baseball, but he said that after he'd already been playing for a while. Yeah. I think he might have said that Springer's going to be really good, so he could hit there. But Altuve's been wrong. So, like, yeah, stop crying wolf. Who peed in your Cheerios, Branham? I don't eat cereal, dude. Cereal's for children.
I heard during the break you might eat a lot, though.
I might what?
Yeah, you're eating a lot these days.
What do you mean?
I heard you broke a chair.
Porky. Hog,
no, the chair's
ass,
weird.
Wide,
it's not broken because it doesn't, like, it's fine. But it has, like, you know how you can lean back in a chair?
Yeah, yeah.
This one you can lean forward.
Like that. Do you see him almost fall off his chair now?
Yeah.
I didn't almost fall. I completely
yeah, he's
fell.
He's having to get up and readjust.
The chair's jacked up.
He looked like somebody on the front of a roller coaster putting his hands up because he's about to go down the decline. And then he fell off the chair.
I do whatever for this show. I almost busted my chin on this desk.
Yeah, I could tell.
I could have been bad. I'm not the.
You might have been doing the game with the scar on your chin.
It just happened for everyone watching on YouTube and Twitch. That
yeah, you'll have to put that on.
We'll start calling Jeremy Scarface because he took one on the chin in Indianapolis.
Why is the Price is Right theme playing on a segment called Wheel of Bits? Do we really have to explain that? The Wheel?
Well, why are we playing the Wheel of Fortune theme? I think would be the retort.
I didn't like the Wheel of Fortune theme, I think.
Pena's 27, a World Series MVP, missed me with slander, Branham. Okay, 4576. Do you think Jeremy Pena's a superstar? Because anybody who thinks Jeremy Pena's a superstar doesn't know ball. Like, you don't know ball. If you're putting Jeremy Pena in the status of superstar, then you don't know ball. You've lost all credibility. I don't take your opinion seriously. Yes, he's a World Series MVP. No, he is not a superstar. Yes, he was critical to the Astros winning the World Series in his rookie year. No, he is not a superstar. Yes, he has a great physique. No, he is not a superstar. Yes, he likes tacos, has great taste in his food. No, he is not a superstar. Yes, Jeremy Branham loves Jeremy Pena. No, he is not a superstar. And by the way, 27 is like your prime age in baseball. Like, 27 is not young in baseball. Once you're on the wrong side of 30, you're trending down. You take the aggregate of Major League Baseball history, the average prime in a player's career is between the ages of 26 and 29. So 27 is not a feather in the cap for Jeremy Pena as a superstar or young.
I definitely agree he's not a superstar. There's two levels to this. Like you said, he World Series MVP, ALCS MVP. He's a great defender. He can be good with the bat. But he's not a superstar. He's not a star. He's not even close. He's never made an All-Star game.
Yeah, I don't really love using All-Stars as, like, barometers of credibility because they put an aging Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols into an All-Star game because they wanted to get, like, send them out right.
Yes.
So like that disqualifies that as a credibility.
He's a good player. He's just not a superstar. So, like, that's why it's where Altuve's wrong. Yes. Do I think that you're taking it maybe too literally? Also, yes.
I don't think I'm taking it literally. I'm saying that Jose Altuve likes to call young players superstars.
Yeah, he does.
I'm not taking it seriously. I'm showing the levity of it. I'm taking it lightly. I'm taking his word lightly. It's everybody else who's taking it seriously, and I am telling those people you probably shouldn't, because Jose Altuve has said this in the past about guys who have not been superstars. It's not me taking it seriously. It's me taking it lightly.
How's your Twitter mentions been since you posted that?
The Twitter mentions weren't bad.
Okay.
Like the Twitter, I mean, I think I got like 150,000 engagements, so like that's my hand patting my back.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
I might be able to afford a $5 biggie bag this month with my engagement farming funds that Elon pays me. But no, I'm not taking it seriously. I'm saying that we shouldn't take what Jose Altuve has to say seriously. And he might be right. I'm not saying that Cam Smith's bad.
You went on Jason Brown's show, the coach from Last Chance U?
I did, yeah.
Nice. How's that?
Well, that's what happens whenever you're a social media star and an influencer. You get invited to guys who flamed out on Netflix.
Oh, well, this tweet says you went on because you talked Houston Cougar basketball. So.
Yeah, I did. He was talking to me about the Cougs. Yeah. Let's reassess in a year or two. Jury can still be out, can it? Yeah, the jury can still be out. Like, if Pena has an MVP season this year, I will be like, I'm an idiot. Who is this loser that was saying Pena wasn't a superstar? Although right now, Jeremy Payne is not a superstar. Can he evolve into one? It's potential. Like, it could happen. He currently, today, is not a superstar. That is non-negotiable, not up for argument, not up for debate. That is a fact, not opinion. Right now, today, he is not a superstar. Could he become one? Sure. I guess he could become one. And I do like his potential. Like, he has power. He has good defense at times. He has speed. I think he can become, like, you know, a really good player. But usually you don't, like, take leaps and bounds at the age of 27 unless you're juicing. Like, usually you are the player who you are by your late 20s. That isn't always the case, but mostly the case. So if Pena has an MVP type of year, okay, well, then in 8 months he is a superstar. But he currently today is not one.
I also don't think that's like what our expectations or want for Jeremy Pena should necessarily be. I mean, I would like to see his on-base percentage go back up to above, you know, his career high is .324. I'd like to see that go up. I'd like to see the batting average tick up a little bit. And I'd like to see the home runs get back to at least 20 plus. He's hit 25 home runs the last 2 years. He had 22 his rookie year. So he's gone backwards in a lot of categories as well. So I think there's still a lot of room to grow. And I do think he's, to me, like one of the players that the season kind of hinges on in terms of how far this team can go. Like I feel like he does have to take a step forward in a major way for this team to take like a major run to the World Series this year.
It would help. It would help. I don't know if it's a necessity. I do think he has to be better, but like major leap, I think he could take a small, like I'm arguing semantics here and I hate to do it, but like sports are one on the margin, so I like to argue the margin. I think that they could be just fine if he's just a little bit better.
I think I think Yiner, Pena, one of the two needs to take a pretty large leap this year.
Or what if those two guys and you throw in Jake Myers take little leaps?
That'd be fine.
See, I think you can do it in the aggregate. Like I don't think it has to be one guy. But if it's not one guy, then it needs to be at least two, maybe all three taking small leaps. So I do think that it's possible in the aggregate. I do think that a leap needs to be taken, whether it's one giant leap for mankind by one of those players or it's small leaps by three of them. And you might even throw Cam Smith and his, like, you know, being better than Chaz McCormick is a small leap too. But I do think that there needs to be a leap taken specifically on the offensive side. All right, the HRP listener line. The Hive wants to get in on this Jeremy Pena discussion. We're off the rails. Todd Callis will be joining us in 17 minutes. I'll ask Todd if he thinks Jeremy Pena is a superstar. Let's see if I can get in trouble the first time that Todd Callis is appearing on the show. 713-780-ESPN. Do you think Jeremy Pena, who has a physique like mine, is a superstar? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.